listening to Birthplace of Next, the podcast where city officials and community partners discuss the latest news and developments in Dayton that make it a livable, sustainable, and innovative community. In this special In the Spotlight edition of the podcast, Dayton Mayor Jeffrey Mims will be talking with Dr. Kimberly Luce, Executive Director of Fisher Nightingale Houses Incorporated, and founder of Strategic Ethical Solutions International.
Hi, and welcome to another edition of In the Spotlight with Mayor Jeffrey Mims. So how you doing? All my guests are special today, so I got another special guest, Dr. Luce. You know, tell me about yourself and what you're doing and what brings you here today.
Well, first let me express my thanks for having me on your show. This is really exciting to come and share the topic we're going to talk about. A little bit about myself. I have been the executive director for Fisher Nightingale Houses now for coming up on about a year. Okay. It's really hard to believe that.
But time flies when you're having fun.
It really has been fun. It's been a whirlwind. I've had a lot of opportunity to meet amazing people. I've complimented your staff before. I mean, this has been so great to get to talk with you and, you know, just get to share what we're doing and what I'm learning. Mm-hmm. I hail from the medical community, so for a lot of years I worked in the medical industry. I have a deep love for the military, as most people do. You know, when I was in high school, I thought for a minute I was going to fly jets and went to talk to the ROTC folks, and they said, this was back before LASIK, and they said, you know, with your eyesight, forget it. You lose your glasses, you're out of here. So that was never an option for me. So the medical community, the military, and then, of course, the whole piece about the nonprofit support. When this role opened up about this time last year, a mentor of mine saw it. He has an executive search firm, so he's always looking. And he slid it across the table, and he said, I think the universe is talking to you. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, look at these, the military, medical, nonprofit, everything you're passionate about.
Okay.
I think you should call these folks.
Okay. Very interesting. So Fisher House. Okay. So we're talking about the what, the why, and the where.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's talk about what are they? Because I know that you have, we have one, for example, at Wright Pat, and we have two at Wright Pat, I think.
Two.
And then we have one at the VA here in Dayton.
So the Fisher House Foundation builds the houses, and they're across the country, a couple abroad. They're on a campaign to build 100 by the end of this year. So there's 97, 98 under roof right now, and they're on the road to 100. So the foundation builds the houses and then gifts them to the military. So they're either in front of a VA center or they're on a base. It's every branch of the military. What I'm leading is a nonprofit that has sprung up here 20-something years ago with the person that originated it and built it.
Right.
Nonprofits have sprung up around the country in support of Fisher Houses in geographic locations.
Mm-hmm.
So Fisher Nightingale, which is our nonprofit name, the Fisher Nightingale Houses, Inc., they are supporting the three greater Dayton area. So there are two on the base, and there's one in front of the VA. Mm-hmm. And Nightingale is special to us. The Nightingale House was not a Fisher House. It was a compassionate care facility way back in the early 90s that was started by the military there. There was a woman who, she was in the Air Force, and she said, you know, I think we need this. I need this personally. And they were the first one. They built that and took that space and converted it to compassionate care. And then the foundation took notice and said, it must be time to build one at Wright Pat. And they keep track of statistics. So if the houses are booked a lot to capacity, they'll build another one and another one.
Okay.
So we keep track of how many and who's there.
Okay. I think I was at the, I know I was at the grand opening, the ribbon cutting, the one that we have at the VA.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had representative both Turner and Cher Brown, who were there at their spaces at that time. I think one of the things that I noticed during that time frame was looking at some of the improvements that have been made at the VAs across the nation, because some of the reputations that we've had at the Veterans Administrations and the hospitals have not been what we would like for them to be in terms of service for our veterans and those course, who have fought in the different wars. And being a Vietnam vet myself, even though I've not had to have those services, at least prior to that time, the aspect of seeing the investments, both the external investments as well as internal investments being stepped up. I know that there was a lot from the Obama administration in terms of Obama and Biden in terms of how they put more money into the VAs to bring them up, if you will, not just from the aspect of how people thought about the VAs, but also to realize the veterans who, many who put their life on the line, and unfortunately some were not able to pick those up, but those who were part of the military who chose to fight for this country, they felt they need to have a better support in terms of when they came back if they had medical issues. And so I think since then we've seen a growing level of support for veterans. The PACT Act that just recently passed in terms of things that are happening from that perspective as well. Looking at how they're doing things in North Carolina with the water at the base at Camp Lejeune. Mm-hmm. All those kinds of things are part of an outgrowth of the additional investments that veterans deserve across the nation, mm-hmm. and across the world, actually, because of where they are. Mm-hmm. So the Fisher House for families, correct? Families who have veterans who have long-term stays in the hospital because of injuries that they've had or illnesses that they had as well. Can you talk a little bit more about the type of reasons in terms of why someone's there for a long-term stay?
Why somebody would be there. And I'm so glad to be able to expound on this because some guests come and they're there for a day. Maybe they're having LASIK surgery to repair their eyesight. Anybody that comes as a support system with active military or veterans, so it's open to every branch, active or veteran, they come, and whoever is their support system, sometimes it's a family, a spouse, sometimes it's a friend, whoever is their support person, people, they are all welcome to stay at the Fisher House for no charge. They're compassionate care facilities, and the idea is you get to the door, there's nothing else you have to go out to get. Everything is fully stocked, kitchens, bathrooms. Sometimes people arrive there after something disastrous happens, and so it's an emergency, and somebody winds up airlifted or, they've been into some terrible accident, whether it's part of their job in the military or something else. An example at the VA, and we're going to highlight this at our gala, there was a couple, and it was featured on Channel 2, and it's such a heartwarming story, even though it was a tragic situation. Faye and Leo Heatley were coming up from their home in Florida driving. And I believe 86 and 88 are their ages. I believe he's 88. He's a veteran. And they have a cabin, a home up in Michigan. So in the warmer months, they go there. And their five grown children and their grandchildren come and visit. And on September 8th, they stopped in this region after they drove all day from Florida and checked into a hotel, and he went out to take a walk and never came back. Hmm. And she tells the story of, all of the time he was in the military, nobody ever knocked on the door with that terrible news. And then the Tip City police knocked on her hotel door. He wasn't answering the phone. So he was taken, he was hit in a crosswalk. They didn't even see him. They didn't even slow down. So a vehicle hit him and he was on foot. So he was really critically injured and he was admitted, and she was taken to the VA, and she said, this is still a link on Channel 2 that will, you can see, I could send it to you, but they did a beautiful job with the story. She said, I was just standing there. I didn't even recognize my husband when I saw him. And here they think they're heading for vacation. She said, I'm just like, I have no idea. I'm hundreds and hundreds of miles from home.
Man.
Where do I go? What do I do? And she said, a voice of an angel said, why don't you go across the street to the Fisher House? Because they do have social workers and folks that are in the hospitals. One of my missions and my role is to heighten the level of awareness that they're here. She went across September 8th, and they were here till 2 days before Thanksgiving. He was in the hospital, and her family, their family, they rotated through and stayed with her, and they all got to visit with their dad and grandfather. And she said, I just don't think he would have made it because he couldn't be moved. And then he went through intensive PT.
Okay.
And guess where he is? back home making a full recovery in Florida.
Okay.
So that was an extended stay that was totally unexpected.
Man. You know, so listening to you explain that, and I'm thinking about some of the investment, the additional investments that we have in the city of Dayton with the Ronald McDonald House in terms of things that we're doing in Children's Hospital. And so I just think how similar, if you will, the situation is in terms of how you put us in situations where family members can come, they can stay for free, set up camp, if you will, and stay there. Because the essence of this is you have an injured, sick veteran or family member. And so the other family members would like to be able to be close to them as close as possible, and then also be able to have transportation that can just right across the street, right there on that location, but also not be worried about the costs.
Right.
To be able to just focus on the family member that's ill, that's trying to get better.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's proven in the medical field when you have a support system. I mean, it's data-driven research that is proven. You just do better. And, you know, from when you've been sick yourself, you're not your best advocate, and especially right. a critical situation. And so to have that support, it really does help you focus on the healing.
Yeah.
And that's what the goal is, you know, keep families together and have them heal and be able to go on and not endure these gigantic bills.
Right.
And one thing, a tagline, and I know it's a double negative and I shouldn't say it, but I've been saying it's never a no if you right. call. If the house is full at full capacity, our nonprofit will support putting them into the nearest hotel until a room opens up.
Yeah. See, I was going to ask that question, so I'm glad you just threw it out there. So the situation happens, and you'll say we have a massive set of issues. People, unfortunately, sometimes may get sick at the same time, a lot more than what's anticipated. And so there's still hope. There's no one's going to say, well, there's no room at the inn, for
never
example.
Know.
No. So it's never a no. So while we can't take care of you right this second, just give us a minute, and we'll be able to take care of you and get you in a place where you and the rest of your family can be comfortable.
And that's we literally book the rooms for them so they don't have to outlay any of their own personal finances, because a lot of times this stuff is totally unexpected.
Right, right.
We have one lady who's been coming to the base houses for nearly 3 decades and getting treated once a month, and so we're going to honor her at the gala as well. But, you know, she's been coming for ongoing cancer treatment, and she comes, they now live in Edmonton, Kentucky, and we did a little video spot of her, and she said it's worth every 208 miles for the care at that hospital and for the love that I get at that Fisher House from the staff. And people form deep connections with other guests in the house, because as you've torn the house, there's just really enormous dining rooms and things. If you wanted, you could stay on your own or just with your family. But most people are like, you know, that's what trauma is, right? Where you go like, oh, you're going through that too. And when, like Miss Franklin, who I was just speaking about, she'll talk about friends that they've developed for decades now because they have met them and they were staying at the Fisher House, and then they share their stories.
Okay.
And it helps them because, you know, what's worse than going through something terrible, being isolated, and that's why COVID was so bad, right?
Right.
Like being completely alone.
Yeah.
It's traumatizing.
Really, very much so. So the aspect in terms of going back to you now, the passion that you speak with as you're talking about this, you're talking about some of your experiences, how do you hold up? How do you keep that passion moving in that direction, such as what you're sharing right now?
Well, I have to tell you, you know, any time if I get to get a little tired, or if I'm feeling a little crabby, or I'm like, you know, oh my gosh, it's the end of the month and get everything, you know, all the stuff, the administrative stuff that goes with it, all you have to do is just go interact with some of the guests. The other thing that really lifts me up, I've got a very supportive board, and I also, the staff at the house, it's a calling. And so when you go, you're just energized by seeing, because it's that starfish story, right? Like it made a difference to that one when you tossed them back in. I was navigating all this crazy wind today and was taking a phone call, and it's a gentleman that's high up in the Meyer Corporation. Do you know, I got a call right before Christmas, and somebody that works at Meyer, who's now become a friend of mine, she said, I'm on a mission to keep things out of the landfill. And do you know, and don't hold me to all of this, but it's okay. Something like, if a skid of water shows up and a bottle is damaged, the whole skid goes in the landfill. So they're trying to not, you know, so shampoo, so anything you can imagine. We provide funds to the managers of the houses to go and buy things like soap and shampoo and anything that would wash, you know, down the drain, laundry, detergent. They've been setting aside the stuff that's scratched or dented or damaged. They showed up before Christmas and they texted me and said, can you get a forklift? And I went, sure. And then I called the house manager and went, we can get a forklift, right? And somebody in the the VA base came riding up with a forklift. I just got a call from that person, and she said, we have five pallets set aside again. And so the house managers get together, they split up what they can, and then our commitment, and I really, it's dangerous when you start mentioning people, because so many people have helped us. Miami Valley Gaming has given us product and things, Amazon, same thing.
You know, and that's fine. I mean, you can think of some of those, because I think, you know, because those things are given from the heart.
Yeah.
Okay. But sometimes way too often we forget about individuals who do things from the heart, and they're doing things, and their gift, if you will, is making a lot of people happy and contributing to the quality of life of so many, many people that they don't sometimes get credit for.
Right.
So I don't have any problem at all mentioning that.
Well, you know, it's just like when you're thanking people and then later you go like, oh, I forgot to thank my... Yeah. But
charge it to the, what do you say, to the mind, not to the heart. Okay?
Yeah. but the whole thing about what they're doing when they're bringing all of these gifts and things is... there's so much, the cupboards are overflowing. So then our commitment to them is, it is,
it's okay.
It is going to stay in the military family here in Greater Dayton. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, when we used all the linens that we could use from Miami Valley Gaming, we took the rest of the Airman's Attic. And so it's staying here. Everything stays local to Greater Dayton. And everything is staying in the military family somewhere. Mm-hmm. So,
You know, and the reason why I wanted to mention that as well, because this this community, in terms of Dayton, you know, we traveled a long way in the last 10 years in terms of addressing some of the myriad of challenges that we've had relative to redlining, you know, relative to job loss, busing, all those kind of things, economic flight, white flight. All the challenges that anybody has when you have a urban community that is poor, you know, those challenges are magnified.
Right.
When you have these extra support systems that sometimes fly under the radar in terms of how the Dayton community steps up, even though they may be facing crisis themselves, they find ways of giving more and more back as far as the community is concerned. I mean, we have this this group called I Declare, for example. They're going to be doing a big cleanup again, which I think is the third year of doing that throughout this city in terms of just neighborhoods to make sure we keep Dayton with its best foot forward, if you will. Mm-hmm. Those type of things that happen on a continuous basis and taking the opportunity to let people know, people such as yourself, the Fisher House and the kinds of things that's happening, to let people know that Dayton people, Dayton citizens, have a heart. You know, they have a heart, they have passion for each other, and we're trying to find ways increasingly more and more to make those dreams that they have become a reality.
So, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
I've been overwhelmed, and I've done a lot of work in the nonprofit sector.
Okay.
But it's the outpouring of how can I help, how can I help. I was just at the Dayton Chamber earlier today. Okay. Like, everywhere that I go, somebody's introducing me to somebody who has something else that they want to contribute. People want to be involved. Right. As I've been building our gala, I've had so many folks from the base and different people offer to be involved in that. It's just it's very exciting. And of course, you know, I've already been at your doorstep
about
the gala.
Yeah.
One thing I'm not at this point in my life is shy. So I've just been knocking on doors.
That's why I asked you to make sure you came so you can tell your story about some things that are happening. So that Chris, he's been on my show as well. Chris Kirshner?
No, so, I didn't know that. So, I'm not surprised.
Right, and talk about some of the things that are happening from the business perspective, because they are helping us. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think he's been on maybe twice, because he's been on with the chamber from the state.
Uh-huh.
You know, so that's been another Steve Stivers, and so that's been good for us as well in terms of having people even statewide understand how we're trying to do things as far as this community is concerned.
Yeah.
And looking at the progress that we're making in terms of creating more jobs in the city, in the area, having the fastest job growth in the region, you know, here in Dayton. Mm-hmm. Those things are great for us. And then more and more jobs coming in and more people who are wanting to move in Dayton so they can take advantage of some of those opportunities. Mm-hmm. So not only are we doing the best we can to take care of our veterans, but we're doing the best we can to take care of you know, our citizens who are here. And, you know, with me being a former teacher and a former coach, making sure we do the best we can with our young people as well.
Right.
So they can grow up and do like you.
Productive lives.
Yeah, grow up and do like you, making other contributions as far as our society is concerned.
Right. Chris, I'm going to go with the group from, I don't know, you may go to this too, but they have their legislative day at the end of the month up in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. Love to do those kinds of things. So I've been invited to go do that. And just all of those deep connections. And then having folks understand, like, you can come tour the Fisher House. Now, you know, if they get in touch with me, I will help set that all up. We always are respectful to the guests, respectful to the house managers.
Right.
So accommodating. They love to share. They love to share what they're doing. And I just dare anybody to go in there and not be moved to see what it is. Folks will journal. There's journals in the room. So sometimes guests will journal. And one funny one, but it was also meaningful because these are beautiful facilities. And one said, thanks for letting me stay at the Taj Mahal, laugh out loud. You know, nicest place I've ever been. And then another one, their family member passed. And the mother journaled because what they did was had a lot of people come through the Fisher House to be with him in hospice when he was passing. And so they journaled, and I believe it was his mother, he didn't heal the way we had hoped, but we began to heal because we were here together.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's a profound impact on somebody's life. And when you can do it, it's such a stressful, distressing time. I just don't know of much more important work that you could do.
Yeah, those are extremely stressful times when you're losing a loved one, and then you have family members who come, and you know, they think about things from all ranges. They think about things that they did that were not good for that person. They think about things that happened that were very good, and all the things and emotions in between. And that statement for them to come together and maybe put aside or in the trash, if you will, all the negative things that they've experienced in exchange for all the positive things that they gained during that short time frame they were there.
Mm-hmm. Sharing meals.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even sharing their story with other guests in the house and finding support there.
Well, we're about out of time, but I want to make sure that we can touch bases on things that you have coming up. Events that are happening sometime in the near future. Anything else you want to tell us about?
So we are going to, there's a couple of things. I should have jotted down everything else that's in the top of my mind, but it will be, if you go to fnhi.org, we have that updated. We also have a Facebook presence. The Bob Childs Golf Outing benefits Fisher House, and so the MVMAA and the Dayton President's Club, putting that together.
Okay, so when is that?
So I'm going to say May 10th and hope I'm not lying.
Okay.
It's out there.
Yeah, I'm going to be out of pocket at that time because I'm going to have trading in the first of my knees probably on the 30th of April.
Oh, you have an excuse then.
Right, okay.
You have an excuse.
We'll catch it next year.
Yes.
Okay.
So they do that. We're a benefactor of that. The gala is May 18th, and I've mentioned that to you before. St. Clair College is the location, and so it's a Saturday. Your AC Marriott here by the Dayton Dragons, they have given us a block room rate, so if somebody wants to make a weekend out of it, they can do that. And we have all of the links are out there. It's easy. If you get in touch with me, I'm happy to send information too. But the links are all out there and active that you can easily register and come. It's really shaping up to be a really special evening. Proclamations, some surprises. John Seibel is our MC. Doug Sorrell is, he's very last time officially at the gavel for our event.
Okay.
So we're making it a great big one, and it's just a lot of excitement around it. We're highlighting some of the guests that have stayed in the houses with video spots, and I think that that will be very moving for people to actually see. It's one thing to read about it. It can be moving, but to actually see what you're supporting and doing, I think, is really so meaningful for people. So that's our big between now and then. That's the sprint to May 18th to get things
together. So in this last 30 seconds, can you give me a link or a phone number or both?
Yes. So FNHI.org.
Okay. Do it a little slower.
Fisher Nightingale Houses, Inc.org.
Okay.
FNHI.org.
Okay.
And then a phone number that's, you know, the main number, 513-544-9408.
Okay. All right.
So that's the way you directly, if you call that number, I will answer.
Okay. That's great. You know, as always, time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah.
So you totally understand that, and I really appreciate that. So, again, hey, so thank you all for watching another edition of In the Spotlight with Mayor Jeffrey Mims. And my special guest, Dr. Lou. So thank you so much, Kim. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. And just have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Birthplace of Next, a publication of the City of Dayton's Office of Communications and Public Affairs. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you won't miss the latest news about what's happening in Dayton. If you have questions or feedback for us, please email cityhall@daytonohio.gov.